relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
I don't know what he was doing. I know he was on the board. I found out he was on the board after he was on the board, and that was it. And there's nobody...
Well, you've had a lot of time. Isn't this something you want to get to the bottom of?
No, because I trust my son.
But that doesn't pass the smell test. Like, when you're vice president, isn't there a higher standard? Don't you need to know what's happening with your family? Don't you need to put down some guardrails?
Unless there was something that was... There was something on its face that was wrong. There's nothing on its face that was wrong. So look, if you want to talk about problems, you know, let's talk about Trump's family. I mean, come on. This is... These guys are amazing.
Yeah, nothing on its face was wrong. Let's not talk about me. Let's talk about the Trump family because... reasons. That is the sad, pathetic old man who barely bears the title President of the United States, talking about whether he knew anything about his son's business relations. No, I didn't. But just stop asking me questions. Let's get to the truth about the actual knowledge that he had of Hunter Biden's corruption in so many different ways with somebody who, well... broke the laptop from hell story. We are delighted to have her in studio. She is an enfant terrible, maybe because she spent far too much time in Canada. She's Emma Jo Morris. She is the political editor for one of the most powerful organizations in the world that's on the right side. It's called Breitbart.com, and she is in studio. Welcome, Emma.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
So first things first, I'm going to ask you about your background, how you get to Breitbart, where you were before that. But just your reaction to that random act of journalism from Axios where we hear this senile old guy get a little bit tetchy at the end, but first say, no, nothing to see here.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty unbelievable, especially after all of the reporting from the New York Post. I mean, the first story was addressing that claim specifically, which was that he didn't know. So, you know, he was kind of skirting by saying, my son does what my son does, and I don't have anything to do with it. And nobody had anything to say, actually, you do, until the Post reporting, which was the first story. Vladim from Burisma says, thank you for the opportunity to meet your father. And that was
in an email that we have the actual words of the originator, who it's going to, thanking Hunter Biden for letting me meet your daddy.
Yeah. And then obviously, you know, coupled with that story of the same day, we had the story of the White House leaking conference calls to Burisma. So obviously he was aware, obviously they were helping each other. And the way that they were kind of making this whole thing look okay, if you don't have the emails, you know, in public view, was they weren't being paid while Joe Biden was in office. So that was kind of the plausible deniability way that they worked it out. So they were doing the work. Jim Biden, Hunter Biden were doing the work with Joe Biden, obviously, on behalf of China, on behalf of the Ukraine.
So this is, let's stop for a second. So for those who, I mean, it's so hard to keep track of all this because there's so many different actual acts of corruption or potential corruption. So let's make a short overview. So we're talking about, number one, a Ukrainian energy company that is deemed to be one of the most corrupt energy companies outside of Russia, number one, gives Hunter Biden a no-show job for at least $83,000 a month, despite the fact he never went to the Ukraine, has no background in energy, no background in Eastern Europe, number one. Then we have China, and these are just the big muscle movements of the story. We have the National Bank of Communist China give a billion-plus dollar deal to Hunter Biden and his colleagues for an investment venture when he has no background background in Asia, no background in investment, and he gets this deal after he flies to Beijing on Air Force Two with his daddy, who is the then vice president. But we could go on and on. What are the other big stories that are part and parcel of Hunter Biden and the laptop from hell?
CEFC, 10% for the big guy.
So this is the Chinese energy company, since rolled up because their deal with Russia went south. Talk to us about that deal.
Yeah, that was the second day of stories from the New York Post. It was in writing, 10% held by Hunter for the big guy, which another member of the deal, Tony Bobulinski, eventually came out on a public press conference and on a primetime interview on Fox with Tucker and said, the big guy, yes, is Joe Biden. I mean, it was obvious in the context of the emails, but he confirmed that.
So let's be clear here. This is a guy who was working for the Bidens to seal that deal. I think a veteran, right? Air Force veteran.
Yes.
Okay. So actually came out in public, put his name to this. Yes, this is the corruption, and the big guy who gets his take is none other than Joe Biden. What else?
Yeah, I mean, those were the main ones. And then you had all sorts of other deals that fell through. For instance, I just reported on Breitbart that they were trying to sell liquid natural gas from Louisiana to CEFC to China. They had deals that the New York Times reported on just last week as well. Cobalt in the Congo. They were peddling minerals, peddling natural gas and like all over the world, literally all over the world on every continent, pretty much.
And then we have, of course, just nefarious various things like, well, how much money did he get from the wife of the former disgraced mayor of Moscow?
Yeah, it was like $3 million.
$3 million. Just have some spending money, Hunter.
Yeah, and there was the diamond from the Chinese oligarch from Ye.
$80,000 worth of diamond.
That's right, a 3-carat flawless diamond.
And then, of course, in addition, because we're talking about multiple laptops, these are Hunter Biden's laptops, because when you're lawyers demand the laptops back, that means they're your laptops. You can't demand somebody else's laptops back. So the idea that he actually gave an interview where he said, I don't know if they're my laptops.
He can't remember if he put his pants on that day.
Yeah.
He can't remember if it's his laptop.
Or whether he was snorting Parmesan that day. But my lawyers want them back because they're not my laptops, clearly. And then, of course, we have a very strange... he has all these, not even voicemails, they're his phone conversations recorded on his laptops.
Right, voice memos.
And we've played again and again and again one of them where he's boasting about the people he's in business with. Then he says, why have they disappeared? And then, did you know, by the way, that I'm in business with the effing chief spy of China. So the list goes on and on, doesn't it, Emma?
Yeah, I mean, he was willing to sell whatever to the highest bidder, and he could get his hands on everything virtually because he had access to the highest levels and levers of power in the most powerful nation in the world, and you can make anything happen. Like, you know, in the Louisiana deal, I'm just familiar with it because I just saw it the other day. He's talking about how he's going to get them because there's different statuses depending on whether you can trade on certain countries, depending on what deals that they're part of. And he's getting them statuses and exemptions in order to be able to sell our natural resources to them. Obviously, you can't just sell natural resources in large quantities to China.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's helping them navigate. He's helping them go through the loopholes. He's helping them get in touch with who they need to talk to. The CEO of Monkey Island, which is the big company that extracts the natural gas in Louisiana, he's getting the meetings all over the place with whoever they want. And that's what they're paying for, obviously. I mean, he's not some sort of genius.
Well, I want to talk about that, the quality of individual we're talking about. But first, I want to introduce everybody to you, Emma Jo Morris, to our millions of listeners and viewers across the U.S. and the planet. Tell us a little bit about, you're at BreitbartNews.com right now as political editor. Where did you hail from? What have you done in the past? Give us a little summary of who Emma Jo Morris is.
Thank you so much for having me, first of all. It's such an honor to be here. I am at Breitbart now for about a month. Before that, I was the deputy politics editor at the New York Post, where we obviously broke the laptop from hell story, right. And I helped lead the national politics coverage there. And then before that, I was a producer for Sean Hannity on Fox News. Again, one of the most amazing opportunities of my life. That was really where I launched my career. They plucked me out of absolute obscurity in Canada. And, you know, Hannity and the producers there saw something in me and invested in me, and here we are.
And that's how we bumped into each other. Maybe in a green room somewhere at Fox or somewhere.
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah. New York.
And Porter Berry, I think, is central to that happening, right?
Yeah. He was the one. He was the one that saw something in me and gave me a chance at Fox.
Good. I
am forever indebted to him.
Big fans of Porter. God bless you, Porter. Hope you're having a great time now, head of all things digital at Fox. We're talking to Emma Jo Morris, broke the laptop from Hell Story. We are doubling down on our interview yesterday, one-on-one with Miranda Devine. Follow Emma at Emma Jo NYC. Guys, we're halfway there. Thank you for the amazing work you've done for the Prison Fellowship. This is the Chuck Colson campaign to get Christmas presents to children who have a mother or father behind bars this Yuletide. Will you be one of these people, makes a donation and helps to break the cycle? Listen to the power of your donations from Cecilia, a mother of one of the children who received a gift thanks to you.
I would have never, ever imagined, you know, that donation, that generosity from somebody else. Bringing my kids a gift from their dad was ever going to make it so where my kids today are going to be giving 10 other kids a gift. And that's just Prison Fellowship spreading love and joy.
That's the power of your donation. More than 70% of these children end up incarcerated themselves. Let's break that cycle. Make a donation today. Go to sebgorka.com and click on the Angels Tree banner at the very top of the page, or call 888-206-2794. $25 gets these one of these girls or boys a Christmas gift. $125 is six children whose lives you will improve. Spread a little brightness this Christmas. Go to sebgorka.com and click on the Angel Tree banner at the very top, or just call 888-206-2794. 062794. God bless every single one of you who have donated and who will donate. Stay with us for more one-on-one with Emma here on America First. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans from their daily pain, including people like Debron from Massachusetts. This is her story. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. That should be you. That could be you. Find out today. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Debron, and thousands of your fellow Americans. 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com. You can now watch America First on TV, and I urge you to check us out. Go to salemnews.com or download the app today. You can also watch us on Roku and Fire Stick. That's Salem News Channel, the antidote to the lying legacy media. Welcome back to One-on-One with me, Sebastian Gorka, and Breitbart's Emma Jo Morris. Emma, I'm curious. I'm not a journalist. If anybody calls me that, I correct them very, very rapidly. But I'm very curious that I want you to walk us through the inside story. Give us a little bit of inside baseball, because I love the New York Post. It is, I believe, the oldest extant newspaper we still have, founded by Alexander Hamilton. So as you're breaking the story of the laptop from hell, what is it like at the Post? What does your management think about the impact your coverage is going to have? And then walk us through, as just before the election, Jack Dorsey, Twitter and Facebook just memory hole this Orwellian, you know, New York Post story just has to disappear.
Yeah, I mean, so we became aware of this laptop in September of 2020. So just before the election, about 2 months before the election.
Was it through Rudy or Bernie or
yeah,
how?
So I can tell you that. So Steve Bannon has a producer named Vish Burra, who I knew from New York. He's from New York. He was not previously in politics. This was his first job with somebody political. And I knew him from my days back in Hannity. I used to hang out with him a little bit. He was friends with some mutual friends. And we had kept in touch, and I went to the New York Post. And anyway, they obtain the laptop, or Rudy does, actually, and then Bannon becomes aware of it. And
these are copies, right? So the store owner allowed certain people to download the hard drives.
Exactly, exactly. He gave Rudy's lawyer the first copy that was out, and they were looking at it.
Oh, multiple laptops.
One.
Oh, one. But yeah. There were two in the store, weren't there?
No. Well, I think there's three Hunter laptops in circulation.
Wow.
The Post had one.
Okay.
And that was the one that went through Rudy. And Rudy called Bannon because there was so much China on there. And Rudy knew that Bannon was the guy for that.
Yes.
And they decide they need to get this out into the press. So Bannon's producer, who I knew from years ago, and he was telling Bannon, I know somebody, an editor at the Post, who you got to get in touch with, and she is going to know what she's looking at, and you better call her. So I got a call from Steve Bannon. It was actually on Yom Kippur. I'm Jewish, so I remember that way. Very intense holiday, actually. And he calls me, and he says, I have...
Steve actually called you?
Yes.
Okay.
Vish texted me and said, Steve Bannon's about to call
you. That's a big deal. When Steve Bannon doesn't get somebody else to call you, that's a big deal of a story.
Yeah. Oh, you don't miss it, of course. And
a text is a big deal from Steve, trust me. Especially at 3 a.m., which is when he usually texts. Carry on.
So this friend of mine texts me, Steve's about to call you, don't miss it. I get the phone. He says, I have a story that's about to change your life. I say, okay.
Classic Steve. Hi, I'm going to change your life. Hello.
And keep in mind, I don't know him. So this is my first time speaking to him. I've never met Steve. I met him once at a Zionist Organization for America dinner, actually. And that was it. I didn't know him. And I get this phone call from this guy who's almost like a legend. And he says that. And I said, what do you have? And he says, I have Hunter Biden's laptop. And I said, okay. And, you know, we start kind of trying to confirm
Remind me, where were we in the story at that point? When you get that phone call, was the story known yet about
No.
So it was completely... No. The store
this
owner hadn't spoken to anybody in Connecticut?
No, this is totally...
Right. Okay.
This doesn't exist in the public consciousness at all.
So this is the first time anybody hears about it?
No one would think that Hunter Biden has a laptop.
Except the FBI for like a year and a half, but carry on.
Aside from that, which is actually how Rudy kind of got involved with this guy in the first place, but that's going really back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. The FBI knows and nobody else.
Yeah, right.
And so we hear about this, and there were multiple, obviously, steps that we took before we published. I remember I just couldn't believe it. The whole story was unbelievable. Imagine you're just hearing this for the first time, and you're at the other end of this. You have no idea what's going on. You know, you don't know Steve. It's not like we were close, and I trust, like, I mean, okay,
well,
but
well,
I don't
how
know
did you
him.
React? What did you just say? This is nuts, but it's Steve, or what?
Yeah,
I
didn't know how to react. It was the craziest phone call, obviously, I've ever gotten. I didn't know what to think. I mean, I had no reason to not believe him, but I also had no reason to believe him because it's like, what are you talking about? Why do you have this? You know? And it was very intense. I waited the next day because it was a very high holiday. I waited the next day. I called my boss and I told her everything, and she said, okay, go see it.
Reaction? Give us a little bit more than
that.
What did the Post think?
I think they were like, you know, the people at the Post, they're very good journalists and they have a lot of experience. They've seen it all.
Right.
Especially in New York, you know, you see a lot. And I think they were kind of holding out to believe it until they had some sort of confirmation, because it's like, that's an insane phone call on its face. It's just an insane phone call, and it's an insane thing to say. So, you know, I think they were kind of like, okay, well,
check it out.
Yeah, go look. Go look and see what you have.
So you get a copy, I presume, of the copy?
Well, that's later. I took an Uber out to Long Island where Rudy's lawyer was, who had the computer, and I went to go see it. And I remember I told Vish, this guy, this producer at Bannon, I told him, like, I will kill you if this is not what you say it is, you know, and I don't
she
really
means
know
that metaphorically, Media Matters. Don't get your panties in a twist. Carry on.
Of course. Very fiery, but mostly peaceful threat to kill him. I said to him, this story is just too weird. What are you doing? And like, I'm going to Long Island now to look at this thing, and I hadn't seen it yet. And I'm just going off what they had told me at this point. And he says to me, you know, you grew up in a nice neighborhood, which I did. And he said, I grew up in a kind of rough neighborhood. And he was like, you don't know anybody who does this kind of stuff, like crack. And it's true, I don't. And
because you grew up where?
I grew up in a nice neighborhood in Montreal, Canada.
Okay. As an American.
Yes. On the west side of the city, which is beautiful. It's beautiful there. And you know,
so you don't hang out with people who are snorting
Parmesan.
That's
it. I never knew anybody doing drugs like that. Okay. Definitely not. And he said, like, I'm telling you, I know people who do crack, and this is what people who do crack do. They do incredibly stupid things that you can't even wrap your head around if you don't do that stuff. They live in a different universe, and you can't relate to it, but just, this is what crackheads do. They don't, like, they screw up their lives.
Right. They're not normally functioning
exactly.
adults.
Exactly. So I said, okay. And I just was like, okay. And went to go see it at Bob Costello's house, who is Rudy's lawyer. And he showed me he had had it for a couple of weeks at this point. And so he was, like, going into it. And he's, you know, former prosecutor for, I think, the Southern District. This guy is, like, he knows how to look at something and look at it critically.
Right.
Piece things together, and he had already found some contracts in there. He had started, like, finding stuff. And so I said, okay, give me a few documents. I need to go take them back to the post, and I'll come back. And I walked out, and I was like, I have a feeling that this is real.
So you didn't take a copy of the drive.
No,
you took some documents.
Yes. I just took some to bring back to go look at if we could try and match any of it, if we could try to, you know,
verify.
We can't just take their word for it. We are responsible for our own work, and you don't say, oh, Bannon and Rudy told me.
Right.
It's like, you have to, it's
do
painstaking work to try and confirm this stuff, and we had to get started somewhere. So I took some.
We'll talk about what happened next, but first, guys, please join us at freedomsquare.com. Conservatives finally have a place to gather where you can check all of your favorite podcasters, your news sites like Breitbart.com, everything on your private dashboard that you build, and it's free. Please check out freedomsquare.com. Join us in the fight for freedom. See you on freedomsquare.com. That's freedomsquare.com. Freedom lives here. Stay with us for more about the Hunter Biden laptop from hell with me, Sebastian Gorka, one-on-one. Whether it's the regular Hellcat or whether it's the compensated RDP with that miniature red dot, I love them all. How did it take so long to invent a factory-compensated subcompact 9mm? Well, guess what? Springfield did it, and I'm a huge fan. And I'm Sebastian Gorka.
The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest-capacity micro-compact in the world. Available in standard or optics-ready configurations, class-leading capacity of the Hellcat gives you 11+1 with the standard magazine and 13+1 with the included extended mag. The definitive concealed carry pistol is here. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Prison Fellowship.
This is America First one-on-one. We continue our discussion with Emma Jo Morris. So you start checking out, we're talking to the, you have a chapter in The Laptop from Hell.
Miranda's book, yeah.
In Miranda Devine's book. You broke the story of The Laptop from Hell, Hunter Biden's laptops. And you can be followed now at Emma Jo NYC on Twitter. Emma, so you get these initial documents from Bannon's team, from Rudy's lawyer. Then what happens? Are you by yourself? Does the New York Post give you a team? Talk about it.
No, yes, I was by myself. I began first by, well, first I gave copies to the New York Post, obviously, first, and they had to take them into legal because this is obviously a legal landmine. There's so much personal information on this. And
criminal activity.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, how valid is the waiver that Hunter signed to the computer repair guy to surrender his laptop to him?
So this is crucially important after, what, a 60 or 90 day interregnum.
Exactly.
If you don't pick up the hardware you left there to be fixed, it becomes the property of the shop owner, which is a pretty standard contractual arrangement.
Everywhere.
So you have to verify that.
Yeah, exactly. Everywhere. So we had that copy of that contract. So Hunter brings it in. This is any computer repair shop standard. If you don't pick it up in 90 days after I call you, it's mine. He also didn't pay for the service, and he just left his stuff there.
Crackheads do.
Right, apparently. Like, they fall off the face of the earth, which actually does track. So anyway, That's, so we had that document that he had signed. We had to match the signature somehow. We had to take that to legal. Is this, does this contract apply to us? Are we allowed to report it publicly? How much are we allowed to report publicly? You know, what is, it could be that he gives over his computer. Does he give over the contents? Like, there's all kinds of legal questions about this when you're handling somebody's personal stuff and personal information that you have to deal with. So I start trying to check Secret Service records with some of the stuff that I had, because there are dates and locations.
Some movements. So.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And trying to understand, like, is there press stuff that, you know, shows them here at some time? Is there, like, you know, you're trying to just basically see if there's any other source of information that you can cross-reference.
So to make sure that this is genuine and not what more than 50 quote-unquote intelligence analysts said, that this is a Russian information operation.
Basically.
You did your due diligence to disprove that.
Well, exactly. Like, exactly. Nobody wants to be duped. You don't want to report
or be liable.
Yes, absolutely. Any of it, or lie to people or mislead people. I mean, this was obviously going to be a big story, and you don't want to be wrong. You know, we are representing the Post, we're representing ourselves. It's serious. So there was a few things that we had to deal with before we would even think about going to print, and those were some of them. And at this point, it's kind of tied up in legal, and I'm doing my part of trying to just see, is this real or is it moot? And then about 2 weeks goes by. It was a while. And I'm kind of like going, like, what's going on? What do we do? And they're kind of like not sure how to proceed. And it's kind of muddy. And Miranda gets involved at this point because Rudy is getting extremely impatient. And he calls her and says...
Who's your colleague at the Post, Miranda Devine?
Miranda Devine. I was the deputy politics editor of the news section. And Miranda Devine is a columnist on the opinion side. And Rudy calls Miranda and says, your news side is just sitting around and, you know, because he doesn't know what we're doing. Yeah. He just knows that we've gone away in the night. And Miranda texted one of the editors in chief and said,
what's going on?
What's going on? And all of a sudden he came back and basically said, okay, we're ready to go. It was like, I think... I don't know what went on exactly. I still don't know to this day what went on exactly, but...
That's not your job. That's their job.
Exactly, and...
Super exciting, like a novel. And then what happens? When does the shoe drop, Emma?
Well, so I go back to Rudy and I say, no more drops out of this thing. I need the laptop. I need it now. Like, we need to go. We want to do
the
story.
You need the drive.
Exactly. I won't do it unless I have access to the whole thing. Like, I'm not taking, like, crumbs from you. And
was that your decision or was that your editor's?
Well, I mean, she said, how much can we get? And I said, I'm calling him and saying, we
need
it.
Get all of it. Right.
We need it, obviously. Because I've been looking at it and it's like, you see every single document is like a small snapshot.
Yeah.
And you need to build more to make the story, which thank God we did, because when I got into that thing, I found stuff that I'd never previously been shown. This was not on any thumb
drive. So Rudy agreed.
Yes, he agreed. I went to his apartment. Steve Bannon was sitting there. It was quite surreal. Offered me a drink. It was very nice and lovely afternoon. We spent some time, and I took the laptop with me when I left. And
so, when does your first story drop, Emma?
Maybe 4 or 5 days later.
And it's about what you hit first.
That was thank you for the opportunity to meet your father from Burisma, because the whole time he's being dogged at this time. Okay, we're going through the campaign, and the whole time he's being dogged, what do you know about your son's business? And he says, I know nothing. So that was the first hit, was yes, you do.
Right. Fabulous, fabulous. Follow this lady. We are so excited to have her in studio. Thanks, Alex Marlowe, Breitbart, for saying, get this lady on America First. Follow her, Emma Jo NYC, on Twitter. Also, read her at Breitbart.news. And check out Miranda Devine's book, The Laptop from Hell, to which our guest contributed. All of you out there know that MyPillow doesn't have giant box stores or any shopping channels. They've been instead targeted by cancel culture, but now they want to pass on big savings directly to you. Get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with my promo code. They also have queen-size pillows, regularly $79.98, now only $24.98 with promo code GORKA, or king-size pillows, usually $89.98, now only $29.98 with my promo code. MyPillow is not just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to actual beds. Promo code GORKA also works at mystore.com and frankspeech.com. Call today, 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA.
Making sense out of today's nonsense, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back to Emma Jo Morris One-on-One with me, Sebastian Gorka. I need to ask you so many things. We have to get you back. So many things I want to ask you. But first things first, given everything that you've uncovered, the thing that blows my mind, apart from the corruption, the mendacity, the constant lying from all of the Bidens, none of these people are top draw. None of them are smart. None of them are sharp. None of them are street smart. They're crazy crackheads like Hunter, who takes films of himself with whores and crack and gets caught crashing a rental car with his dead brother's attorney general badge in it and his crack pipe. I mean, stuff you wouldn't believe in a novel. How do these people get away with it? Why does it take until you, the Post, and Rudy? Because there should have been detritus of corruption for decades.
Yeah, I mean, I call them overeducated fools.
Good.
Because I think that that's what it kind of is.
Educated and dumb.
Yeah, they go to Harvard, they go to Yale, whatever. Right. And, like, they're not exactly what you said. They're not street smart, but, like, they can't. It's a miracle that they tie their shoes in the morning, some of these guys. It looks like that. And I think, how do they get away with it? I think it's something that Trump made clear through his entire time in the White House. If there's anything that there was to learn about Trump's time in the White House, is that there's a club.
Yeah.
And if you're not in that club, you can't play with them.
But if you're in the club, you're covered.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
You can do no wrong. And there's no repercussion for anything. I mean, we exposed work that was being done while Joe Biden was vice president. And there's testimony in public from people who were involved in these deals. Tony Bobulinski, and Miranda writes about this, and he said it in public. He said to them, why are you doing this? How are you doing this? This is like, there's something really wrong about this. He was basically brought in to kind of button up their deals because they had no experience in any of this. So Tony was brought in with experience to write up their contracts.
Successful
and make
sure businessman,
it
veteran. Yes. Right.
And he comes in and he realizes what's going on. And he says to Jim Biden, why would you do this? How are you doing this? And
Joe's brother.
Yes. And Joe's brother says to Tony, plausible deniability.
Incredible. All right. I want to ask, flip it a little bit, go up to 30,000 feet. Talk to us about what happened to you and the Post after you start dropping the stories, and how the rest of the legacy media treated you in the Post.
Yeah, I mean,
And then social media.
Yeah, this is the real story. Like, I told this to Marlo on his show. We thought we were going in to talk about the corruption of one man and prove that. What we ended up proving was a corrupt system that coalesced around that man to protect him because he was meant to protect their interests. And it, like, that was really the story, what happened after we published it, because we published it and immediately Twitter, Facebook shut it down. Facebook was at least a little bit more modest in the way that they did it, where they just kind of curbed its distribution on the platform. So they made it less viral, basically, yeah, by tinkering with the algorithm. Twitter just went, like, ham-fisted, disabled the links, banned accounts sharing it.
And,
like,
let's be clear, for those who aren't on social media, it was impossible to share this link.
Yes.
You went to your account and you cut and paste, or you tried to retweet the Post story or Emma's story. It was impossible. In fact, and I lived through this, if you posted pictures from the laptop of Hunter smoking crack or with the prostitutes, those pictures could get you suspended, despite the fact that they're not photoshopped, They belong to somebody else because he surrendered those laptops. So talk to us about not just social media, but those around you. On their business card, it says reporter or journalist, and how they dealt with your story.
Yeah, it's such a joke. Honestly, it's such a joke. It's just all smoke and mirrors. These people, I mean, okay. The social media oligarchs premised their banning distribution of our story on hacked materials, Russia.
Which never applied to Donald Trump.
Right.
So if you had dirt on Donald Trump, you could spread it as far as you wanted to, and Jacqueline was fine, and Mark Zuckerberg was fine.
Oh, of course. Can you imagine?
So this was just a smokescreen.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously. But it was hacked material. Okay. Even though it wasn't. But they were trying to make... They had to justify not letting you see it based on that narrative. The media jumps in right away and says it's Russian disinformation. The first story that really kind of set this off was by Natasha Bertrand, who has since left for CNN, but at the time she was at Politico, CNN, of course. At the time she was at Politico, and she puts her byline on a story that says, Hunter Biden's story is Russian disinfo, dozens of former intel officials say. Okay? And
who none of whom have actually seen the laptop.
So that's what I was just going to say. You took the word right out of my mouth. The buried lead, which appears, I think, in paragraph like 10 of that story, is she publishes a letter that they write. We haven't seen the laptop. We haven't seen the contents. But based on prior experience, it looks like it could be, but we don't know.
Yeah. I haven't seen the patient, but they have cancer.
Exactly.
No blood work, but yeah, they got cancer.
Exactly. And who's on that? Michael Hayden signed.
Hack.
Yeah. John Brennan. You know. The other, Clapper.
Yeah.
All these guys. Top guys. CIA, DNI.
Cabinet members.
Yeah. Oh, big time. And big time spies. And they're all signing it. And Politico is just unscrupulously republishing. They don't ask, how do you know? She doesn't give them a modicum of criticism in their claims. She's just reprinting security state propaganda. And that is out in a mainstream outlet. Politico is the most mainstream it gets. It gets parroted by all the media. It gets parroted by the Democratic Party. And it's based on nothing. Nothing.
And since then, in just the last 3 months, we've had Durham's indictments. We've had Durham arrest somebody. And we have confirmation that these materials are real, thanks to other DOJ documents. And let me just ask you, you know, yes or no, have any of the people who talked to Politico or signed that letter of intelligence experts, have any of them retracted or apologized for that statement?
Of course not. Okay. Even after another reporter at Politico is writing a book about the Bidens and has confirmed the emails from another source from House of Sweden, where they were getting their office with the Chinese oligarchs. They were supposed to share an office with the Chinese oligarchs, and there was a contract for it in the laptop. This guy went to House of Sweden and said, can I see your copy of that? And they confirmed it. And this is the same publication that originally started this absolute slander and smear campaign against us, against the Post, against me. I mean, they came after me personally with absolute lies.
That's what they did. That means you're winning when they do that.
Well, that's exactly.
When you're being smeared, it means that
you don't want to talk about the story.
You are over the target. We're talking to the person who broke the laptop from hell story at the New York Post. She is now the political editor for Breitbart.com. Follow her on Twitter, Emma Jo Morris. It is Emma Jo NYC.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolfe. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Welcome back to America First One-on-One with Breitbart's Emma Jo Morris. Do you think, do you have any hope that arrests, indictments by John Durham will help us get to the bottom of this? What is the end of this? What is the end of this?
So I've thought about that. You know, recently was the 1 year anniversary of when we published the story, which always obviously a date that means something to me. I mean, it did change my life. He was right.
Steve, we're talking about Steve Bannon.
Steve Bannon, he had said that originally. And I think about what does this mean? What's the end? What's the period? You know, and
because there's one scenario, you get away with it, nothing happens, which seems to be right now the case. Or,
well, like, I think what you're talking about is a battle, and there's a greater war. And I think that in this battle, we just talked about it. Most likely, it's sad to say, I don't know if there's going to be any accountability. Who do you hold accountable? Jack Dorsey? Do you hold accountable John Brennan? I mean, who do you hold accountable? I don't know. And
yes.
I don't know what that looks
like. Yes. Yes.
Ideally, of course, you know, you'd want everybody to really have to answer for themselves. And they're disgusting and censorious and totally awful and undemocratic behavior. But I think that in the greater, in the bigger picture, this is just the first page of the next era of American history that we're entering, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. the technological age. And there are certain things that we're seeing now that we have never seen before and that we've never had to deal with before. And I said this before, too. It's like, this is the warning shot of what we're getting. And the American people ought to look at this and think about it and think about how do we move forward from this?
Yeah.
Because this set the table. And now we have to think about what's next? How are we going to allow this? And what do we do to say no? Obviously, I would imagine your audience is an active audience. Your audience is engaged and they're activists and they don't accept these terms of being censored and having their communication policed and having information chosen on their behalf of what they can see, obviously. So what do we do? And I don't know what the answer to that is. I think it's going to play out over the course of years and decades in terms of how the end of the story looks.
Superlative summation. It goes to the header of your Twitter account, a tweet that you've got posted there. The ruling class will not be mocked. This story is a warning shot because it reinforces everything we should have understood years ago about the quote-unquote elite, what they think they can get away with, what they actually get away with, and the damage it is doing to the foundation of our republic. The question is, will there be repercussions? Educate yourself. Listen to this woman. Read her writings. Check out her colleague Miranda's Devine's book. Any other things they should be reading or doing to educate themselves?
Yeah, I mean, keep up with Breitbart. Miranda's column at the Post is one of the best in the country, in my opinion. I do a lot of reading. Not many people get it like she does. Breitbart, across the board, is an amazing source for all kinds of this information. I'm reporting from there, and I will be keeping on this beat because this is the beat of
fabulous.
Our time. Absolutely. The deep state or the security state or whatever you want to call it, and their marriage with political parties, with big tech, with our mode of communication. Not okay. I'm watching this and documenting it very thoroughly at Breitbart.
Well, God bless you for what you do. We've been talking to Emma Jo Morris. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This has been One on One. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on your swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.